Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. Pastor Kevin Radlin here, and I am just so excited to be joining each and every one of you as you tune into the program today on 91.5 FM or by podcast on our website at ourlighthouse.net. Many of you are probably clicking in and out of all those. You don't want to miss a program, so you're jumping over to the website and making it happen. I love that. But welcome to the program. We like to take a topic from the Bible and just begin to expound on it and talk about it. And we do that with a co-host. And I've got a very special first time on the program, but not the last time, guest for you today. And it's Caitlin McQuinn. Caitlin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so glad to have you. And we are going to be just talking about all kinds of cool stuff today. But let me explain who you are for the people who are listening out there. Caitlin is our women's ministry leader here, our evening Wednesday. I'm sorry. It used to be Thursday, but it's Wednesday nights at what time? Tell us a little bit about the women's ministry. Go ahead.
Oh, man. The women's ministry, thankfully, the Lord has just been blessing it and blowing it up. It's Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. in our fellowship hall, and it's just growing. We're growing in our knowledge of who God is, who we are in Him, and growing as an awesome group of women. I'm so excited to see what's happening there.
Right, right. We are on a short break until January the 11th, okay?
Yes.
And after January 11th, all of our classes, all of our Bible college and everything will resume at the church. But we're in the holiday mode right now, and we're just giving our leaders a much-needed rest. But we'd love to have you come out and visit our ladies' ministry, you know, on Wednesday nights. So, Caitlin, I usually have our co-host bring the topic for the day, and I actually tasked you with the topic. So what did you bring? What do you got?
Yeah, well, as I was looking for the Lord to give me what He would want to have happen today, He really was impressing upon me the idea of identity, because there's so many different places screaming out for us to tell us who we are, you know, from one point of view to another. And I think it's so key for us to understand who God says we are. You know, it really stuck out to me, the idea of who is it that defines you?
Right.
You know?
For sure.
And some people might say, oh, well, nobody defines me. I define myself. Well, what standards are you basing your self-definition on? There's always something, some structure that defines who you are. And whether it's what your parents thought or what your best friend thought growing up or somebody you really look up to, whether it be, you know, at work or in your family or something, something from somewhere has defined what you think is success or what you think is special about you.
Well, I always say it this way. I believe that we are the subtotal today of everything that we've seen, we've experienced, relationships that we've gone through or had, you know, not just like, you know, love relationships, but parental relationships, friendships. All those different things have built into our core belief system, because
absolutely,
we all have a core belief system of what we think's right, what we think's wrong, who we like, who we don't like, what we like, what we don't like, what's our favorite color, what's our favorite food. You know, we put all that stuff together and it becomes, oh, that's who Caitlin is.
Right.
Right? You are everything that you've put into you or other people have put into you up to this point.
Yeah.
So how do we, you know, work on our identity, you know, because sometimes some of the things that have been put into us aren't exactly good things.
Exactly.
And I had a lot of garbage and trash that I had to, you know, renew my identity from when I was first became a believer and still to this day.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, as you were talking, I was just thinking, you have this thing that you say garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, and that's kind of, you know, kind of where I think the Lord was impressing on me. myself. So growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom was, for over 30 years, she was the choir director, the music director, flute player, orchestra director in her church. And so we were there all day on Sunday, every Wednesday night.
Kind of like now, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But it, you know, it's interesting to me that you can grow up in that environment and not truly know the Lord if all you're listening to is just words from somebody else and from a pulpit, you know, and it's important to sit under that pastor and the teaching. Yeah,
sure.
It's so important, but you also have to be getting into the Word yourself, because every single one of us is different. Every single one of us is going to hear from God in a different way. Actually, Romans 12:4-5, Paul says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So each one of us is different.
And so good.
Like, and we're supposed to be that way. You know, not everybody can be a finger, not everybody can be a toe. So it's just, that's how the body of Christ, we're called a body of Christ for a reason.
Right.
So.
And there's many members.
Exactly. And so I think one of the things, as I was growing up and I realized I didn't have the relationship with God that I truly wanted, and I didn't understand why, it hit me. I had to like really ask myself, do I believe that the Bible is true? I have all these thoughts in my head about thinking God doesn't see me. God doesn't care about me. You know, all these things that the world is saying to me.
He's made all those answers very clear in his word.
Very clear.
You're believing outside of that.
Yeah, because I hadn't gotten into it myself.
Sure.
I didn't have that one-on-one personal relationship with him. I had somebody else's opinion of their relationship with him. And that's what I had based my faith on.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we as children growing up in the church, you know, we live on our parents' faith for so long.
You know,
it's like, you're get in the car, you're going to church.
You
know, my kids, as they got a little bit older, I had to be really mindful, is the word I'm looking for, about how much I made them do for church versus how much I just, you know, tried to encourage them
Absolutely.
To do. And I have a, you know, a couple of kids that, you know, they all will go to church, they all love God and all that, but some are like all in and others are, you know,
here and there.
Yeah, here and there a little bit, but you know, you're sharing out of Romans 12:4-5, but if you back up just a couple, I want to kind of take you on a little rabbit trail here.
Yeah.
In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," okay? And there is a pattern that the world is placing on us to try to mold our identity into what Satan, I'm just going to be real, what Satan wants you to become. 100%. He wants you to be greedy. He wants you to, you know, be self-centered and live your life for you. Anything but living your life for God is fine with him. You can be an atheist. You can be agnostic. You can be a Buddhist. You can do anything but Christian, you know, and that's just how it works from an identity perspective. But what would you say about that?
I mean, absolutely, 100%. I think that, so when I was in my late teens and early 20s, even though I knew God, it was so easy to slide into worldly patterns.
Oh, for sure.
Because I didn't have that personal relationship with him. So, you know, I worked at a live music venue, and being a singer and an instrumentalist myself, like, it was really easy to fall into a worldly lifestyle.
Yeah.
Going places I shouldn't be going. Oh, yeah. I mean, and everybody's so accepting and welcoming, and that feels great in the moment.
Right.
But then,
and then there's the party scene and everything else on top
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. You wake up the next morning.
Promiscuity, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on.
And so in the morning when you wake up, you just, the fun you had the night before is gone.
Right.
And now you just feel miserable and depressed. And you're wondering, I had all these awesome people around me before.
Right.
And now where are they? Where is all of that joy now? Now I just feel miserable and depressed. And so the world feels fun for a while, but our spirit doesn't fit in that pattern. And so it ends up leaving
you. As a believer.
Yeah.
You know?
It ends up feeling it, like, in the long run, devoid of any substance, right. You know?
Well, it doesn't have any meaning.
Exactly.
You know, you can't really place any of your identity in mm-hmm. all of that stuff. You know, yeah. I think we miss our identity in all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the word we're looking for is distraction.
Yeah.
You know, one of the greatest ways that the enemy steals your God-given identity mm-hmm. is to distract you with a worldly viewpoint and a worldly identity that really is fruitless in the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
I've lived that life. Yeah. I've been a heavy metal singer back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I've done drugs. I've partied. I've done all the things that you can do to try to satisfy and fill that God-shaped hole mm-hmm. inside of you. You know, there is a place that only God can fill in every person. And, you know, if we aren't allowing him to do that, then we're going to miss our identity.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, I noticed for me, it wasn't until so earlier this year, I had what could have been a completely crushing experience when my mom, who was one of my best friends, one of my constants in my entire life, she passed this past June. And I've realized since then, as I'm going through this grieving process and how hard it is, all of the things and all the patterns that I had learned from her. She was incredible. She loved the Lord. She led me. She raised me right.
But she's living her best moments right
now. Oh, she absolutely is. And I know I'll see her again.
Yeah.
But I recognize that she never truly saw herself through the Lord's eyes. Then I grew up thinking that same way about myself. And so even though I was raised in church and I knew the Lord and I had all of that, I still saw myself that way. There's also generational things that
oh,
train,
for sure.
You know, your thoughts about yourself and your thoughts about the Lord and can really hinder you. And I feel like the Lord is always doing little things to try and get your attention. And so there was this one, sermon that you preached at God's Rock last year.
Okay.
And it had to do with all of the different angels in scripture.
Yeah.
And being in church since I can remember, it blew me away that I had never heard any of this before.
Wow.
And so I was like, why don't I know this? And I actually started to get upset that I hadn't learned this before. And so I was like, I have missed out. There is so much that I need to know for myself because now I'm frustrated that I've been in church all this time and I've never heard this. And so I'm going to be a little vulnerable for a moment, but
sure.
I was like, I want to read the Bible for myself. You know, I'm in my 30s. I've got a young daughter and I'd never truly read through the Bible for myself. I could quote a ton of stuff to you.
Been to a Bible study, memorize some scriptures, but never really like, I'm going to get into this book. I'm going to learn it, know it, eat, sleep, and breathe this book
in
my life.
And so there was a moment, and it didn't take long for the Lord to start speaking to me. It blew me away. But there was a moment when I first recognized that the Lord was trying to get my attention. And I get emotional every time I talk about it, so forgive me, but there's passages in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, from the very beginning,
sure.
When the Lord was like, oh good, she's finally doing it. I've been waiting for this, girl. I got some stuff to tell you. And so all of that thinking that the Lord didn't see me and I didn't matter and all of those thoughts that the enemy was putting in my head and the world was putting in my head. There comes in Genesis 16 and Genesis 21, the story about Abram, Sarai, Hagar, and Ishmael. And just to sum it up really quick, I really encourage you guys to go and read through this for yourselves. But to sum it up really quick, Abram and Sarai could not get pregnant. The Lord had closed Sarai's womb, so you know it just wasn't happening.
She was infertile.
Yes. And so Sarai told her servant Hagar, and basically, you're going to go do this. And she had to do it. She was her servant. So she gave Hagar to Abram as another wife.
Right.
They were intimate and she got pregnant. And as soon as she got pregnant, she basically couldn't stand Sarai anymore.
She got jealous and envious. And well, so she knew she was the problem.
Yeah. Well, so Hagar first ran away. The angel told her, met her at a well. The angel of the Lord told her to come back. She did, thankfully, because there's more to the story. So she comes back. Then when later on, I know I'm kind of rushing through it a little bit, but I really want you guys to go read this for yourself so you can truly get the full meaning of it. But so then when Sarah finally did have Isaac, she then was very jealous of Hagar because Ishmael was the older son. And so he would have had the birthright. The son,
yeah, exactly.
And the birthright is
everything.
Everything. So she at that point, her name had changed to Sarah. And so Sarah kicked Hagar and Ishmael out. And so they're out in the wilderness, which in that part of the world is basically the desert. There's no food. There's no water.
She's destitute.
Yeah. And she's literally watching her son waste away and she can't do anything about it.
Yeah, right.
And she did nothing wrong.
Right.
She did everything that
she's supposed to do, yes, was obedient.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see it.
And so in that moment, she probably felt like, what did I do to deserve this? Why is there, you know, why is all of this happening to me? And it wasn't until, this is why I get emotional, because I'm a mama and I get it. It wasn't until Ishmael was about to die. She left him under a tree because she couldn't stand watching him die. And she walked away and the angel met her there and said, reiterated a previous promise that her offspring would be more numerous than
right,
could possibly be counted. And so because in that moment she said, your son will not die. And he didn't. He met her in that time when she felt hopeless and she had nothing. And so she called him El Roi, which is the Lord who sees me.
That's good.
And God took that moment and those words.
He brought them to your heart? Yeah.
Because it says, I believe it's Peter. It is Peter. Acts 10:34. Most certainly I understand now that God is not one to show partiality. The Amplified then says, to people as though Gentiles were excluded from God's blessing. It's saying people often hear, he's no respecter of persons. And that doesn't mean, I mean, that means that he treats everyone the same. So if to Hagar, he is the God who sees me, and I believe that every word in the Bible is true, that means that he also sees me. So once I understood that, and I got that revelation from him, everything changed.
Sure.
And then I had to know more. And so I started looking every single day to see, what does God have for me today? What am I going to get out of scripture? I can't wait to hear his revelations. I can't wait to hear what he has waiting for me, because it's only gotten better continually.
That's so amazing. You know, as we say this and we talk about this story, you know, I know there are people that are out there today that are listening that have maybe felt abandoned by God, or that, why are all these things happening to me in my life? Why is it that I've tried to do the right thing, but yet everything kind of comes against me? And you know, the enemy does not want you to walk in obedience. He's going to come, you know, to try to break up anything that is godly in your life. And I just see her, you know, struggling, crying out to God, and I just hear the Lord saying to even some people that are maybe listening today, I hear you. Mm. I will be here. I have you. I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Trust me, you know, lean not on your own understanding, but trust me and let me direct you. Let me show you the way that you should go. And you know, it's powerful when you look at that. And Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Mm-hmm. We've got good things that God has planned for us. You know, he says, you know, in your mother's womb, you were, I knew you, that the thoughts and plans that I have for you are to prosper and be of health and not to suffer you know, destruction in your life, you know, and a lot of times we think, well, that's physical, but no, there's a global, like, eternal perspective to all of that at the same time.
Yes.
You know, and some people are healed instantly by God, and other people are healed when they go to heaven. You know, I've had to come to grips with that as a pastor in my life, that not every person gets healed simply because, you know, we say that we don't know. We don't know all the different ways and circumstances, but, you know, your identity is what defines you, though. And I think that Hagar, you know, she knew her identity, but yet even in her identity, the world came against her.
Right.
You know, I think Sarah had her identity, and out of fear, she sent Hagar in there and lost her identity, as she was the one that was promised.
Exactly.
And she tried to circumvent the process and go to God and do help God do what he needed to do in that, you know.
I think we've all done
that
a little bit.
Problems into her life, and we have. Yeah. We've all done that. I've said, God, I got this.
Yeah.
Let me show you how you need to help me.
Absolutely.
And when God's going, no, wait a minute, that's not how it works. Backtrack a little. Let me show you the plans and the purpose that I have for you. Let me show you your identity in me. You know, and if we don't find our identity in Christ, we're going to find it in something else, and it's not going to be a good thing.
Absolutely.
I found my identity in partying. I found my identity in a lot of different things, self-gratification, wealth, you know, just so many different areas that I tried to fill that void of, that hole of the identity of Kevin Radlin that says, I am a man of God.
Yeah.
I am someone who is friend of God.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see happening for people that are out there in the world. My goal as a pastor is to see everybody come to know their identity in Christ and who they are. So if you're listening out there today and you're like, I'm lost, I have no clue, then you need to open your Bible. You need to talk to God. You need to get in prayer, and you need to say, God, what is my identity? What is it that you have for me to do in this world? Why was I created? Why am I here? What do you want me to accomplish for you? And then in that, then you got to be still and let him be God and let him reveal all of that to you. And that's not always an instant download. Sometimes you've got to take the time to let God speak to you.
Yes.
And we get in a hurry. We get impatient, don't we?
We absolutely do. And like you said, if God's not the thing defining you, if he's not the one defining you, then something is going to. Something else is going to. Whether, especially now that when we have all this social media and all of these other people showing you their highlight reels, something else is going to define you. So I just challenge you to take a few moments, and even Google can help you find scripture too. It doesn't all, you know, if you don't know where to start, you can start there.
Right.
Look up scripture on identity, and I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot to.
Absolutely. There's plenty to study there. Well, hey guys, we're going to take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back here at Turn the Light On and talk a little bit more about identity.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Hello, everyone. Pastor Kevin here from Lighthouse Christian Church, and I just wanted to take a moment and invite each and every one of you to our Christmas Eve services. It's going to be December the 24th at 4 and 5:30 p.m. here at Lighthouse Church, located at 1250 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Please join us as we celebrate the joyous holidays and the birth of Jesus Christ here at our church. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, we want to say thanks to all of our sponsors, everybody that helps keep the light on. We turn the light on each and every day, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 on 91.5 FM and on our podcast on our website at ourlighthouse.net. So make sure you go over there, catch up if you miss, or just jump in and go back and listen to a bunch of the old programs because it's really cool to do that. So, Caitlin, we've been talking today about identity and, you know, who defines you, what defines you, what's your past, where are you at, where's that all at? So for everybody that's out there listening to us today, would you just bring it all to fruition for us? And let's just hear your heart in this thing about identity.
Yeah. So 1 Peter 2:9, I want you to hear this because this is what God says about you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Yeah, I love that.
And then Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So we've been adopted into his family. He calls us his children.
Right.
And in that scripture, it gives us the opportunity to call him Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. That's a personal, such a special, precious relationship that he gives us an opening to step into.
And that relationship is only made possible through the blood of Jesus, the cross. Jesus came. Your sin had separated you from God, but Jesus came and through the power of the cross, through his sacrifice, through his blood cleansing you and making you the righteousness of God, you have been restored.
Yes.
And you have been adopted and cleansed and made whole and made pure. That's your new identity. But see, if your identity is not in Christ, then your identity is in your own merits and your own strength. And then one day you're going to get before God and he's going to go, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because, you know, we can't have a relationship with the heavenly, holy God without the blood of his son mediating between us and being that gift that grace really is that puts us in the presence of God. So guys, we hope you enjoyed the program. Caitlin, thank you so much for being here on the program today. What a great word, great topic, and I'm just so impressed with all that you do, and we're so excited to have you here at Lighthouse Church. You're a huge part of what's going on here. So guys, we hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.